his name this evening. Look forward to worshiping with you and trust that God's blessing is on this place. Thinking about the subject, being diligent in everyday duties. Being diligent in everyday duties. Diligence, you can look up, I got a dictionary definition, but it's big and long, and I came across a different definition I like better. Diligence is hard work applied faithfully over time. Diligence is hard work applied faithfully over time. You see the phrase hard work in there. It's applying some effort to it. Faithful labor on a consistent basis, it's applied faithfully. It's not just given when it's easy, not just given when it feels good, not just given when it suits, but it's applied consistently as it needs to be. And over time, day in, day out, over an extended period of time. Being diligent, it's easy to work at something for a day or two or while your interest is up, but to stick at it for the long term. That's what we're talking about this evening, being diligent in everyday duties. Everyday duties, we think about the common things, the things that are not so outstanding or unusual or real outstanding in that way. And maybe they don't get any recognition from anyone else. No one else knows that you do it, or at least not until it doesn't get done. That kind of thing, but it's the usual things. And duties are tasks that we're responsible for, things you need to do. And we all have certain responsibilities we have. Some may have more than others, and yet I think we all have things that we're responsible for, things that we can take care of, and that we really should, no matter how young or how old you are. There's some things that you're responsible for. Now, in a general sense, I think this subject is maybe directed some to the many tasks that many of us take care of that are not in the forefront. They're not up front. They're not recognized well. They're things more like the janitor, person doing the cleaning, the person sending in the bulletin news, the father's earning a living, taking care of things around the house, the mother's taking care of the children, cooking meals, washing clothes, a lot of those kind of things that don't get a lot of recognition. Many times they don't get recognized. And yet, they're a lot of work, and they have to be kept after. They have to be done. And so I think a lot of the subject maybe has a lot of that in focus. If we can be faithful in those things. Now, the basic idea of diligence I had a bit of a struggle with, because while that's very much a part of God's people and much of the teaching of the Bible, it's not necessarily an end in itself. And the Bible talks about those who are diligent to seek for iniquity, to seek for evil. And so diligence is something that needs to be, is a good thing as it's channeled in the right direction, as we're doing the right things with it, as we're diligent in doing the right things. And it's very, very necessary and very much something that the Bible recognizes, God recognizes and teaches. But we want to spend just a little bit of time thinking about what things we're diligent with. Now, just by way of introduction, I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 is a very familiar story, but I want to think about it not so much about what's happening here, but what Daniel's life was like before this. What can you tell about what Daniel's life was like before he stood this test of going to the lion's den? Daniel chapter 6. And I'll read verses 1 through 16. Think about what Daniel's life was like every day. What kind of person he was. Daniel 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel had preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled themselves together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and with his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Let's just drop on down to verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And then let's drop down to verse 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Now, just think a little bit about this story. Daniel went through a tremendous test here, and it's a very fascinating story. But what would it be like if his life would have been different beforehand? Before this day, he wouldn't have had that clear a testimony. If he wouldn't have had the testimony that he prayed three times a day with his window open toward Jerusalem, if he would have not had the testimony that he served God continually. And I mean, we don't know what all that meant, what all details are behind that, what all that included. But he received a pretty close scrutiny there, where in verse 4 and 5, when the princes could not find any occasion or fault, as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Talking about being diligent in the little things, and this is somewhat in line of faithfulness too, but he was a diligent man. He was very careful in all that he did. Which one of us could say that we have not, if someone looked at us that closely, trying to find a fault in us, they couldn't find anything whatsoever to hold against us. His testimony was tremendous. "Thy God, whom thou servest continually." Seems like he had a testimony in a lot of different ways that he was serving a God, and the king was well aware that this man served to God all the time. There wasn't any time he left him down. There wasn't, you know, Sunday wasn't any different than Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. He served God continually. Did he serve God all the time? We don't know what his life was like. If he had servants, or if he, when he was washing his clothes, when he was cleaning his chariot, when he was feeding his horses, when one of the horses kicked him. I don't know what all he had, but I'm sure he had tests that came his way that he needed to respond. And somehow through those tests, he had the testimony that he served God continually. Do our everyday duties matter? No one sees us doing them many times. Daniel lived in the limelight there. He was a public official. He was high up in some ways. And his life was open for inspection. Many times our lives are not, many of the things we do would never be known if we would not do them faithfully. Are we diligent? Are we diligent in our lives? Does it really matter how diligent we are during the week, as long as we serve, as long as we come to church on Sunday, as things look good? Does it really matter how we serve God? Is it really that important to have a good testimony, clear testimony like that? I think it is. All right, now I want to shift gears just a little bit. Do you realize what a diligent person can accomplish? And I have a little illustration here. There's a castle out west called the Bishop Castle. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but in southern Colorado, there's a man who years ago bought 2.5 acres when he was 15 years old, and he was intending to build a family cabin on the land. And as he started building the cabin, he enjoyed the work, and I think it had something to do with a water tank he put on, and he laid stonework up around it, and people started wondering if this was some kind of a tower or bulwark. It started looking like and they started asking if he was making a castle. And he got it in his head that he wanted to make a castle, and so he just kept on building on that structure, and building and building and building. He's currently alive and still building, as I understand it, over 60 years that he's been working at it. Many people stopped and visited and asked if he needed help building, and he said sure, but nobody ever helped. So he just kept on building himself, and finally he got to the point where he decided, well, he's just going to do this whole thing himself. He doesn't need any help, which is the way it is, but just what one person can do if they stick at it and are determined and keep working like that. He dug the foundations down 12 feet deep by hand, mixed his own mortar, cut down trees, made his own lumber, made his own scaffolding, used block and tackle to raise the beams and supports and the other heavy things. It has a tower that's 130 feet high with a 30-foot steel steeple on top of that. And he has bridges between the towers and a great ballroom and it's quite a building. What can a man do if he is determined and diligent? You know, we need to focus our energy. There's lots of different places that we can put our energy, and that's what I was saying at first there. We need to focus it in the right direction. But you realize how much a person can do if they set their mind to it and put their heart behind it. There are many, many times that he was tempted to quit, I imagine. He felt like giving up. Would have been 9,000 feet elevation, and the winters are long. It's often May till the snow melts there. So it gave a short building window with all the concrete and stonework he was doing. One of his children was killed in a logging accident while he was building, but he stuck at it. Talk about determination. Talk about diligence. That's what it can be in an earthly sense. Man can God has given us energy and ability to focus and determine and to get things done. But what are we going to do with that? Another little illustration. Several years ago in the South African territory of KwaZulu, the government dug irrigation ditches on both sides of a river. It's apparently a dry place with a river. This allowed the rich land to be farmed. On one side of the river was Christian Zulus, Christian people of that nationality. And with these irrigation ditches, they were able to produce lush crops and they prospered. On the other side of the river lived the traditional animist worshipers of Africa. And they continued to live in abject poverty, producing almost nothing on the same kind of soil. Even with the irrigation ditches, they didn't make any difference in how they lived. Why? The Christians believed they were responsible before God to work hard and live soberly. Their pagan neighbors, on the other hand, viewed work as the woman's responsibility, while the men spent their time drinking and fighting. Diligence. Thinking about diligence. And we have quite a heritage, and that's... There again, I'm not quite sure where all to go with that. Heritage is good, and we appreciate it, and we want to value that, and it is something that God teaches. And yet, when you think of mission work in a place like this, diligence isn't the thing they need the most. That's not the first priority for them. My son-in-law spent some years there in Africa, and I was interested in talking to him. That's one of the things that stood out to him, how much the paganism and has suppressed the people and destroys their initiative and their diligence, their work ethic, and holds them in poverty, holds them like that. And talking to him about the wealth that we deal with in the United States, he's like, well, yeah, Christianity, following God's will, God has given man the mind to think through that and to plan and to make things work and to plan for the future. And many times, those following the devil, those following the evil one, are robbed of that. Not always, but many times they lose that. And so it is very much a godly principle and one we want to follow. What is the opposite of diligence? The opposite of diligence, we'd probably say, is carelessness or inattentiveness, laziness, neglect. And those are things that that the Bible speaks much against. All right. The first point I would have would be that diligence unlocks God's provisions. God's created the world in a way that many things are available to man if he digs in and works a bit. God has created man to work, and if we exhibit some diligence, in many ways it unlocks some of God's provisions. Many different proverbs we could look at. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And the sluggard, he has all the desires that the wise person has, or the diligent person has. He has a desire to have things, but he hates the pains that the diligent are willing to take, and he's not willing to exchange that for what it would give him. God's made it that we have to work for things. We have to expend some effort. We have to spend a bit of pain. And then his blessings come. That's one of the ways that he releases his blessings to us. Proverbs 21, verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. That brings in the thought of kind of the get rich quick, shortcut. I would say that's a road to poverty. That's what he points out there. But diligence, being willing to work for what we have, receives his blessing and is the road to receive the things we need. Try to take a little shortcut there, and it doesn't work out like that. It's not a good path. It's a path to poverty instead. Proverbs 27:23, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. It's kind of an interesting verse, talking about animal husbandmen, men taking care of animals, farmers. But we know that God has designed the world and created animals and crops and things that if we put some care and some attention and some work into it, he provides an increase. He provides an increase in crops. He provides an increase in animals. A lot of you know way more about that than I do. But be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. And if we do that, he does his part. But he tells us to take care of them. He tells us to be careful, to be diligent in them, to learn about them diligently, to pay attention and learn and not just be lazy as we care for them. Jeremiah 29:13, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall seek for me with all your heart. And now this is getting beyond the everyday things some, but God talks about being diligent to learn to know him. And he says if we seek him with all our heart, that we will find him and that we can learn to know him. And so he doesn't want us to just casually look for a little relationship with him. He wants us to seek after him with all our heart. He wants us to diligently search after him and find him. And it says, you'll find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Sorry. He wants us to search diligently for him so that he can be found. Now, I want to look, second point would be great things can be accomplished by diligent effort. Let's just turn to 1 Kings chapter 5. And I guess we think about diligence, we think about hard work like we talked about, we think about paying attention to detail. Details that other people might not notice or might not care about, putting a lot of work and effort into it. But some of the monumental things that have happened have been done by diligent work by many, many people, just applying themselves and making things happen. 1 Kings 5, starting in verse 13, it's talking about King Solomon building the temple. I'll just read several verses here. We're not going to read the whole thing, but King Solomon raised a levy out of all Israel, and the levy was 30,000 men, and he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month by courses. A month they were in Lebanon, and 2 months at home, and Adoniram was over the levy. And Solomon had 70,000 that bear burdens, and 40,000 hewers in the mountains, beside the chief of Solomon's officers, which were over the work, 3,000. And 300 which ruled over the people that wrought in the work. And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them, and the stone squares, so they prepared timber and stones to build the house. And I don't know, I see this in the category of great diligence. There was a tremendous amount of effort and work that went into this. Much of it was not seen. Much of it was not noticed. The final product, they were all working together for a final product that was very noticeable and very memorable, but many of them had to apply much sweat and toil without recognition. The end of last verse of chapter 6, it says, in the 11th year, in the month Bul, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, and according to all the fashion of it. So was he 7 years in building it. So they worked for 7 years building a temple, and you see what diligence and men working together, people working together can do. Thinking of diligence, applying ourselves, and making things happen. God's kingdom moving forward. God's work being done. Now, I want to read a couple verses in Joshua from his testimony of his life yet, too, in this, on this subject. Joshua chapter 1. I'll just read two verses here. You don't necessarily need to turn to it. Joshua 1 verse 8. God speaking to Joshua, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I guess I see that as taking a lot of diligence to know God's law, for Joshua to know God's law thoroughly, and to know all the commandments in it, and to observe to do them, to observe to do according to all that is written therein. And God promised him a blessing if he would do that, but it required a diligence to know God's law and to follow it carefully. He's, you know, we face all those kind of temptations and you're doing the work and it seems like it'd be better to do it this way, but God's law says no. This is the way it needs to be done. I imagine there was places like that. I don't know of any specifics, but there probably was places like that, that Joshua had to make a decision. Is he going to do it the way that made sense to him, or is he going to do it according to God's law, the way he was told to do? And the testimony in chapter 6, verse 27 is, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country, implying that he was faithful and implying that he was diligent in following God's commands to him. He kept it faithfully. He was a faithful leader, and God's blessing was upon him. Some of these are public leaders who had public recognition then, but it's because they were faithful through their life. They were diligent in the things behind the scenes, in the everyday work that they did. And because of that, God recognized them, and God used them in special ways. Third point I have down is what does diligence look like? And I just have a couple notes here from scriptures. Proverbs 12:27 says, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Implying that a diligent man works for what he gets and he takes care of it. It's a little bit different than a slothful man roasts not what he took in hunting. He gets someone else's and he doesn't take care of it the same as a diligent person who goes out, gets the things that he needs, and there's a certain amount of care that goes with that. He takes care of it. Proverbs 10 verse 4, he became poor. He becometh poor that stealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. I'm not sure exactly what that implies, but it seems like it means something like a carelessness or a deceitful hand, either a careless hand or a deceitful hand. He becometh poor that is careless or that's trying to take advantage of other people. He's trying to get more out of other people than he should, get more out of them by deceit. And it says that doesn't work. He becometh poor. God's blessing is not on him. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. God's blessing is upon the diligent, and he uses them in special ways. And again, this is Old Testament. We don't see that carried out necessarily the way they did in the Old Testament. But God's hand of blessing is on those who are diligent and who work for what they have. I'll go on. Fourth thing I have down is God rewards diligence, and we noticed earlier that diligence unlocks God's blessing, or God's, many times God has rewards for those who follow the way of diligence. They find blessings from God, but there are rewards that go with it, and an accomplishment, the feeling of accomplishment that goes with diligence. A couple other verses are not in Proverbs for here, but Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Just a promise, if we stick at it and if we are not weary, we're not weary in well-doing, there will come a time in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Our reward may be delayed, but it will surely come, and it will be worth it. We don't always see that in this life even, but there is a reward for those who are faithful and those who do God's bidding. Let's not be weary in well-doing. That's one of the basic promises that we have as we labor and do those many things that we wonder if they're noticed, that we wonder if they're important, we wonder if they... Sometimes we get weary in those things, but it's a promise for us to continue on. Continue on because God sees. And another common verse that we think of in this subject, Ecclesiastes 9:10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." God's plan is that what we do wholeheartedly. We do diligently. We do thoroughly. We don't do things half-heartedly. And I don't know how to, I know there's different temperaments and all those different kind of things, but God's call, and that's where this transcends temperaments, God's call is for us to apply ourselves and to do things diligently, to apply ourselves, do it with our might. It starts out there with "whatsoever thy hand findeth to do." And we would like to do the big projects, do the important projects. We would like to be involved in those and have an important place in making sure those happen. But he says, "whatsoever thy hand finds to do," whatever is in front of you that needs done, do it. And do it with your whole heart. Apply yourself. Apply yourself and make it happen. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. I'm sure we all have things in front of us that may not be glamorous, they may not be what we wish we could do, but they need done. And the call for God's people is to apply ourselves, apply our whole heart, and do it with all our might. The next point, I referenced this verse before, but talking about what we want to be careful to be diligent about. Psalm 64:6 says, "They search out iniquity," speaking of evildoers. They're looking for iniquity. They're looking for evil. They're looking for wrongdoing. And they accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart. I'm not sure if I have that. I want to make sure I have that right. Yeah, it's not a verse we look at much, but they search out iniquities, they accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow, suddenly shall they be wounded. So God's given man the ability to go hard after different things, and it's important that we choose to go after the right things, because we can apply this and we can be diligent. There are people that are diligent and seeking evil and following after the wrong ways, and God will judge that. Many of the things that God tells us to be diligent about, especially, and I would say in the New Testament, probably applies more, or to grow, to, we're especially supposed to be diligent in applying, in growing our spiritual life and doing what's going to help us to grow spiritually. And some of that involves taking care of our families, taking care of doing the things that we need in our house, taking care of our families, taking care of the church work we're called to do, all those things. But especially, he calls us to be diligent, to not neglect our spiritual life. In the midst of all those things, to be careful not to neglect, to be diligent that our spiritual life is not neglected. Turn to 2 Peter 1. We haven't looked at many passages. 2 Peter 1. And I'll just read verses 5 through 11. I don't have much comment on them. 2 Peter 1, 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I see diligence as a principle of God's people. In the Old Testament, he taught it as the way to prosper. I think in the New Testament, we still follow that path of diligence, but we want to keep this forefront, in the forefront, that our diligence, we especially apply our diligence to making our calling and election sure. Because if that's not sure, the rest doesn't matter. The rest is so irrelevant. But he wants us to not just half-heartedly go after him, not just casually go after him, but he wants us to apply diligence in our daily life to growing like him, adding faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and those things. And that's another subject probably, but he tells us to go after it wholeheartedly, put our whole heart behind it, go after, diligently seek it, diligently follow after those things. I have a verse from Joshua 22, verse 5. I believe it's where another verse was spoken to Joshua. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. commandment to Joshua was to, sounds like this was when Moses was leaving. Moses' time would come to an end, but Joshua was called to be faithful and to be diligent to serve God, to walk in his ways, keep his commandments, cleave unto him, and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. God isn't looking for a half-hearted follower, half-hearted commitment, half-hearted leader. He's looking for someone who's willing to put his whole heart and soul into following him, to be diligent in all that he does. In conclusion, two verses, 2 Peter 3:14, wherefore, beloved, see that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And I think of Daniel's testimony when I read those verses, the way that he was diligent to keep his life, to keep his worship to God what it should have been, to have his life spotless to the point that others could examine that and could not find any fault in him. He's saying, see that you look, be diligent and you may be found of him, of God, in peace, without spot and blameless. That's something we want to be diligent about. Also, more familiar one, Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our heart is where our expression and our being and our love comes from, and we need to keep that with all diligence, because that will make a difference. It needs to be kept if we're going to experience the peace and the joy and the everlasting life that God has for us. Let's kneel for prayer.